Don't worry about it.
Today,
yes,
I'm going to do a formal invitation, a formal introduction.
Yes.
We have Dr. Jessica Hockman.
Hello.
Who's a pediatrician, yes, here in Los Angeles. And she also has a podcast of her own. What is your podcast called?
So right now it's called Ask Dr. Jessica, but yeah, literally starting tomorrow, yeah, I'm changing the name to Your Child is Normal.
I love
it.
Oh my
gosh. This
comes out.
Oh my God, I love it. And do you do it weekly?
I do it weekly.
I love that.
For I feel like your child is normal. Yeah. How do you, yes, find your topics?
That's a good question. A lot of it just comes to me from what I know parents ask. So yeah, I'll get like, for example, last week there were all the fires and a lot of parents were asking like crazy, calling the office.
Yeah.
What do I do? How do I avoid the smoke? Is it that bad? What do I worry about? So I did an episode on that. And so just trying to give my whole thing is there's so much misinformation out there.
Yeah.
And people Google and they drive themselves crazy, yes, and they worry themselves to death and they, yes, don't know where to go for real information.
Yeah.
So my goal is to interview all of us.
Guilty. Yeah, yeah.
So my goal is to interview, you know, quality experts or just quality people and then put out good information so that you have good direction.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think that when you know more, you can worry less.
Totally.
And that's really my MO, is just to get parents to worry less.
That's really helpful.
Well, she said half of her day is just calming parents down. And I mean, I agree.
True.
It's even more so than, you know, an adult GP. You need more coddling when you're dealing with parents and kids.
Absolutely. It's true. I realize that a lot of parents, you know, you naturally worry, especially when it comes to your children. You can't help it, but especially once you start worrying, it's hard to stop the worry train.
Yeah.
So I can talk to one family at a time and that's great. And a lot of people, I'm always happy when they say, I feel better after talking to you. But what's nice about podcasting is you can put it out there to
yes,
obviously lots
because
of people.
I'm sure there are so many days, weeks, months where you feel like a broken record, but you know, because you're bringing peace to each family at a time. But with your podcast, I feel like, yeah, I'm going to start listening regularly.
Well, I mean, seriously, but it must be so exhausting.
I love Your Child is Normal. That's genius.
That is genius. You know, it's so funny. So we talked about like, because we were so excited to have you that we're like, all right, let's think of things we actually really want to discuss. And so much of the stuff that I was like, felt was appropriate to ask, I'm like, I can find that on my own. You know what I mean? Because I Google a lot. But then there's a lot of stuff that I'm like, is this weird to ask her? But there are questions that you don't want to Google for your kid. Does that make sense?
Definitely. Like, 100%.
Where I'm
because it might put something in your head that like would have never been there otherwise and shouldn't ever be there anyway.
It's so true. And it goes all back to, is my kid normal? Yeah. Like my 7-year-old, I was like, I wanted to ask you one of the questions I wanted to talk about. I'm like, are there markers for like mental health at what age? Like for 7-year-olds, is there a marker for that? Because you're dealing with so many, it feels like hormones, but I know it's not that. But like, he's just like, you know, he's got a lot of big feelings that I'm like, oh no. Like if this goes into adulthood, we're screwed.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Definitely. And I think that sounds very normal. So speaking of, it sounds very, very normal because kids are, they're immature. That's why they need us parents to help them. But big emotions are a very common topic that I struggle with as a parent for sure. Yeah. And so, it's so normal. That's why, Googling would not be a good idea. Yeah. But I think more our job as parents is to learn. Number one is for us to know in our heads it's normal, so we stay calm and don't freak out. And then just knowing how to handle them. Like every kid's different. There's some.
And certain kids, I think, go through more of that earlier than others. Like, for instance, you know, Jenny's, my nephew, her oldest, went through a lot of that. He's now 11. At more like 6, 7, 8. And then he's much like more level now. I don't know. I mean, I feel like, you know, it depends on, I don't know. I feel like, and it could be wrong, but it just feels like certain kids, maybe it's more apparent younger.
True. I mean, during the fire, she slept over and she saw one of my.
Yeah, I went to her house.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Really?
That's a real friendship. Just really just to hang out the two of us. But you're like, it's probably safer if we're all together. She came over and she witnessed like firsthand one of my daughter's meltdown. She's 4. And we looked at each other and I'm like, not normal, right? And she's like, no. Like,
that one isn't normal. I'm not going to defend that one at all.
So first I would say probably the most common questions that I get from parents where they're really stressed and they're not sure. I mean, because everybody, I feel like if you think about your family, there's somebody in the line
totally. That's
a little off, right? They grew up and to be an adult, that's yeah. a little on the...
Yeah. We all have one.
Yeah. There's a label
perfect,
of mental...
But yeah, like, yeah, you know, right, right. Yeah, there are people we know.
There are people.
And you worry, is your kid going to become, you know, Aunt Bessie? Like you can't help it but worry, yes. Is she going to be that crazy one at the holiday parties? But no, I think... very common for parents to be concerned about their kids' tantrums and how they react because they are definitely not yet adults. Like their brains are not mature. Their prefrontal cortex is very immature. There's a lot of growing and developing to happen.
I've got to remember that.
Yes. And so I would say if you have, by the way, you're welcome to throw it out there if you want to talk about it. I'm here if you want to.
Yeah.
What?
Well, specifically. I mean, I think you're having like, you're taking him to see a specialist in February.
Beginning of February.
Yeah.
I'm having him evaluated at first. Now, granted, let's rewind. I am not the type of parent who has like strict boundaries with screen time or diet or strict boundaries at all.
It's
you know
hard.
What I mean? So yep. I'm expecting him to be this like military styled child when I'm like, no, his whole family functions in an organized chaos to a certain degree.
Yep.
So, you know, I go back and forth, like, you know, he gets sucked into his iPad and then like if you try to take it away from him or like him trying to divert into another activity, it's like if an adult did it, I'd be like, you need serious psychiatric help. But I look at him and I'm like my husband and I the other night were like, we've ruined him. Like, look at him. Like taking him off Roblox is like earth shattering. And he's like, I hate everyone. And you're like, don't say that. Only lunatics say that. You know, like stuff like that. So then I was thinking, I was like, and he does have all these big feelings where he'll say stuff like, I hate myself. No one loves me in this family, you know, and it's manipulation, but I know they're not capable of manipulation at that age. So I'm like, right. Oh my God, does he really hate himself? Like,
right. No.
Should I be checking in with someone? Does he have ADD? Does he have like anxiety? He's chewing his nails. I mean, granted, look how fast I'm talking. He's like from my DNA pool. So some of it I go, I can relate to, but others I'm like, I want to get ahead of it with him.
Of course.
Like if he's got anxiety, if he has undiagnosed ADD. Now, granted, even if they told me he did, I probably wouldn't medicate him for it at this age. But still, I'm like searching for answers. And then the other night, my husband's like, do you think this is necessary just yet? Like, we've done nothing at home to try to see if.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the recap.
I think it's necessary. Setting. I think you only have something to gain from seeing somebody who could maybe help guide her, even if it's just at home things.
Well, I think if it's the right person, that's true.
Yeah.
So, and you'll know, I think I'm a big believer in trusting your gut. If you're getting advice from someone where you feel like this doesn't resonate with me, you don't have to stay with that person. Sorry to say, but
you guys can, I don't know if you want to say now, but you can always, this doctor
specializes in like ADD. So I'm like, I don't know if that's too narrow of a lane.
I don't know.
To do like 9 consultations of 18 hours. Is that a normal evaluation? I
think it depends on what you're going for, but yeah. I mean, it sounds
extensive.
It's
probably has to be when a kid's that young, so they can really observe.
Yeah, I mean, but the problem is, he is, according to his teachers, and they said this, they're like, he is a model student.
So that is a great sign. Can I tell you something? Wow. That is fantastic. Obviously, I don't know your son, so I don't know the situation, but usually children that truly have ADHD that's really difficult to manage or just diagnosed with ADHD, usually the behavior is also in school. Mm-hmm. It's not just home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good sign.
Yeah, that's what my cousin's kid was just diagnosed, and she's like, there's no good peer, you know what I mean? There's no like model student in school, and then he gets home and he's a maniac. It's like, you know,
but I will tell you the iPad situation, like turning off a screen and then having the kid turn from a zoned out zombie. Yeah. That's really, it's fantastic. They're basically being distracted. They're sedated. They're being babysat, basically.
They're doom scrolling.
And then when you, and then you turn it off, they're just not going to, they explode. It's really hard. It's very common to have a kid that reacts that way.
Okay. But I think if you were to have more boundaries on it or take it away completely certain days, he's going to adapt to that.
Probably.
And that's
the hard parenting part. That's
because
like
it's not easy for you.
Everybody.
Yeah. That's, I mean, discipline, parenting, it's not easy. Like, you know, really it really is hard. You know, when your parents would say that.
We had this, we got our kids iPads when they were younger. We had a long flight. So I got them iPads for the flight. And then they became quickly addicted to the iPads. And my mother-in-law came over and she's like, this is not okay. Like your kids are just sedated and then you turn it off and they have a tantrum. Yeah. So it was actually really hard for me to do, but we did get rid of the iPads.
How old were they?
They were four, six, and nine.
When you got rid of them?
We had them briefly.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it, to be honest. Yeah. They were occupied. Yeah. So secretly, I knew it wasn't good, but I liked it.
Yeah. Because,
a tablet nanny.
Yeah. Sorry, but it's true.
So you got rid of them.
We got rid of them. And to be honest, it was a good decision.
Yeah.
How long did they have them before you got rid of them?
It wasn't that long. Maybe a few. It wasn't that long.
You know, it's funny. Steve Jobs was like, my kids will never have iPads.
Yeah.
He was like adamantly against it. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. Like, and now the Facebook guys, like my kids won't be on Facebook. I mean, like there's a quote I actually just saw. It was like the owner of Coca-Cola would like never give his kids Coke. You know, it's like the drug dealers don't want to actually give the drugs to their kids. Well,
it sounds extreme to say it like this, but they say, you know, it lights up the same part of your brain where drugs light up your brain. It's so like it's not the same, hit. But it's a dopamine hit.
Dopamine.
Yeah. Yeah. And they crave it. They look for it. And the thing that's different, because I watched TV as a kid, but what I find different about iPads is they can take them everywhere. There's no cutoff. You can take them in the car. Yeah. You can take them to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You can take them everywhere. So it's just hard because...
And the access of the content too. It's like, you know, with TV, it was so different because I was certainly put in front of a TV like a fair amount in the 80s and even the 90s. I mean, like no one was monitoring what I was watching, but I mean, you couldn't record stuff. You couldn't just like stream something.
Yes.
It was like what was on.
Yeah.
And it was fine, but then you were over it. You didn't get addicted in the same way.
You did not get addicted in the same way. Although I definitely felt like I couldn't wait for my TGIF on Fridays. Yes. I'm dating myself, but
yes,
no, you're not. we all watched it.
So your oldest is 15?
My oldest is 14.
14. And
wowzers.
It's a boy or girl?
I have a girl who's 14. I have a son who's 11 and then a daughter who is 9. How about you guys?
Oh, okay. I have 13, 11, and 7.
Very close.
Yeah. So does your 14-year-old have a phone?
She does have a phone.
Okay.
She has a phone. So what we've compromised with is I'm kind of strict in this way because I see the teens in my office and they are addicted to their phones. They cannot separate from their phones. Like literally every teen I have a 10-15 minute visit with them and they can't stop texting during the visit, which always, it scares me that they can't be literally away from their phones.
Yeah.
So her phone can only talk and text. There's no internet. I'm terrified with the rates of honestly pornography that kids find by the time they get a phone. It's very fast when they have internet.
Wait, how'd you take away internet from her?
You can take it off.
So is it an iPhone?
She can't put it back on.
She can't have it on. Yeah, you pay for it.
Is it an iPhone?
Yeah, an iPhone. Yeah,
and you can block those things.
Yeah, you can block all of it.
But hold on. She can toggle on. She could hotspot her friend's phone, no?
Maybe she can.
I hope she's not listening.
Maybe she can. Maybe
she's
can.
She's on to me.
I'm sure there's ways around it because kids have ways around it.
I took YouTube off of Ted's iPad and then we're driving one day and I hear something pretty inappropriate. I was like, what are you watching? He's like, YouTube. I go, how? I took it off. He's like, then I found out, I looked into his Nest Cam and he would go on to Safari and go, hey Siri, take me to YouTube. And I'm like,
smart.
So he's going through
which kid is this?
The oldest. The one that I want.
Seven.
Smart. He's whip smart.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, damn.
So wait, so your 14-year-old, got a phone how early?
So she got a phone she's in eighth grade. She got in the eighth grade.
That's what I'm planning on. But I had told Luca, my oldest, who I would, I for the last year or two, because he complains, like, I'll get you like a flip phone. I mean, or whatever. I mean, even I didn't know you could do that with iPhones where it's just talk and text.
Yes. Yeah,
that's worse.
My son has the flip phone. They try to make it look cooler because I think the flip phone makes them uncool.
Like,
and the whole thing
loser.
Is the image. Yeah. The whole thing is you have to, what I've learned is the iPhone makes you look cool.
Yes.
Like, it's not even that you have all the apps, but you have to have an iPhone.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
So my sixth grader has what's called a Gab phone that can talk and text.
Yeah.
My eighth grader has an iPhone that has apps on it. She needs the apps for school.
Okay.
So we had to get her. And I, you know, according to the, we had to, I put that in quotes because it makes me annoyed that we have to get her an iPhone, but she has an iPhone that can talk and text. And what I did that was also a little different was I disabled her camera.
Okay.
Because all the girls, this is apparently a not so much a boy problem, but a girl problem, yeah. is that the selfie is like what ruins them because they selfie themselves.
It
they
is.
Want to look good. Yeah. They want to alter the picture. Yeah. They want to post it.
A girl mom showed me, a seventh grade girl mom showed me some TikToks of all of these girls who have TikTok. And it's exactly it. It's like, and then the comments, you're so beautiful, girl. Like, yeah. and I'm there, what, there was a term for it, like blowing them up or like lift. It was like to like make them, no, it's like to make them feel like, but everything was about how they looked, right? I mean, what else are they going to say? Like, oh, you look like your chair in the background looks good. I mean, but all these comments are just, they're just like.
No, it's horrible. I mean, you can see it. You'll walk down the street here in Los Angeles and you see all the teens getting together and posing. Yeah. And I just feel like they're too young to be doing that. They're too young to look for that
attention. I totally agree. What really bothers me is the altering. You know, it's funny.
The filters. Yes.
My husband's always like, if I do Botox,
they're like sexy.
I dabble in it, but I'm not like, I don't do a ton of stuff. It always bothers him. And then the last time I did it,
that's
I
so
found
sweet
out
that it bothers
why
him.
It bothered him.
My
He's
husband
like,
does not care.
Yeah, but most don't. Uh-huh. He was like, I don't want Lola to think that. You have to alter yours. He's like, she's so beautiful and she's going to look like you. And I don't want you to not mess everything up, but like alter everything. So then she no longer has the similarities.
That's a bit extreme. You're not going to do anything that would alter your look.
No.
What a nice husband you have though.
No, he's, I mean,
but what
give
nice,
or take. But yes, but
that's
he's,
nice
but
value
he is,
that he accepts that aging happens and that he wants you to, because there's so many people that are trying to reverse time.
And then everyone starts to look the same.
And then everyone, and not the good, I don't think.
No.
Everyone starts, the same. You're totally right. Everyone starts looking like.
Yeah.
And then they alter the photo and then you're like, oh, what's happening?
Yeah. And you're like, that you don't.
I just recently realized videos have filters. I had no idea. I was like, everyone on Instagram is so beautiful. And then I'm like,
what? Yeah, just like the photos.
I had no idea.
What do you mean?
Well, I've never done
Have
a video.
Have you ever watched Evelyn's like feed?
Yes. And I figured out.
She's wearing so much. One of my best friends is a meteorologist and she's on TV every night.
I texted you about this.
And she has to wear a lot of makeup for TV. But then in addition, we were actually joking about this yesterday. She uses this filter, usually the same one, and it makes her look even like
crazier.
The lips and the thing. I mean, she's gorgeous, but it's like a lot. But I'm used to seeing it. But I think a lot of people are like, what?
That is so funny. I was watching one of her things and her lips kind of moved.
Yeah.
And they stayed the color stayed. And I was like, what just happened?
Yeah. And later I'll show you.
That's amazing.
She did a with and without. I'll show it to you.
You and I aren't good on social. We're not doing all that stuff, I feel like.
No.
But that's great role modeling for your kids. I think that's really good.
I like to do a lot. Like I've taken Luca to Botox appointments when he was like 8. He's like, what are they doing to you?
But
I'm like,
spending time with you. See, that's a good thing.
You know what? Yeah. It's a win-win.
But I will say I think the best thing we did with the phones was we wrote out a contract. And that's something that I definitely recommend.
That's brilliant.
Because it's like you were talking about the boundaries. I think it's okay to have the things, but it's all about where are the limits? And so for me, I just didn't, what was really important to me was I didn't want her to be uninvolved in family outings or uninvolved on family vacations or with her friends. Mm-hmm. So I told her, if you're going to have a phone, I really don't want to see it at dinner. I really don't want to see it, you know, when we're out on the weekends going away. And if we see other families, like I don't want her to be the cousin that's just in the corner, the teen in the corner on her phone.
No.
So we laid it all out ahead of time. And so far, so good. So far, she's been keeping
Would you share the contract with us?
Totally.
Okay, I would love to see it.
Did you write it or you found it?
We wrote it.
So
we signed it.
Yeah,
it's up on our bulletin board.
Well, okay, wait. Is there a time where you've said to her, you can have the apps when you're in this grade or something, or you haven't gotten to that place yet?
We haven't gotten to that place. There's a book out by a man named Jonathan Haidt called Anxious Generation.
Yes,
I don't know if you've heard of that. It's been talked about a lot recently. And he recommends waiting on social media till 16. Yeah. I'm going to sound like a old fashioned lady, but I would even rather wait till she's older than that.
Yeah.
Because I think the social media is
like college.
Yeah. When she's an adult.
When you're not in my house.
Yeah.
Well, the argument my oldest will make is, you know, the Snapchat. Like, how am I going to talk to anybody? How am I going to know?
That's what my brain looks
like. I started this.
I
started this and then it was so much statistics. And I know he's, you know, really smart. He does his research. I was like, okay, like I kind of
too much.
Couldn't retain all of the statistics, but and does he not have kids or did I make that up? I feel like...
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
That's a good question.
I feel like he might not have kids, but I could totally be making that up.
You're saying
that's interesting to write a book about children and not have any.
You're saying it's easier to give the advice.
I also think it seems very fact based, very like fact based, but not totally, just not in theory, right? But not totally in practice. But again, so Snapchat, my son was arguing that was his main source to know when parties are, to talk to kids from other schools, and that he's going to have no friends. And I'm like, I'm not worried about you not having friends. Like that's crazy.
Well, my issue with Snapchat, I'm not on it, so I don't know
that's still
how it works, but it's still around.
It's back for these kids, for this age group.
And they know, the hard part is kids know when they're not invited to a party because they can see on Snapchat where their friends are, where they're
that
located.
That breaks my heart.
I know.
That breaks my heart.
I agree.
But what I don't understand is it all private? Or can other people see you if they're not friends with you?
I don't know. I think you have to
be friends
for someone to know where you are.
Yeah.
That would be creepy if
high
they
school's
could
hard
just,
enough.
Like, so on, I have been that? To...
It's true. It's true. It's true because it used to be, I remember feeling left out of parties in middle school. And now it's not just that you know you're left out. You literally see when it's happening.
It.
You watch it. You're seeing
you're like
the pictures.
You're like a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
For this party that you're not at.
Yeah. You're
That's
seeing
sort
the
of
filtered pictures.
At this age,
yeah, I agree.
I want to be invited, but I don't want to go.
No, exactly.
I totally agree.
You want to decline.
I don't even have to be invited.
Yeah.
No.
I had been to all these bar mitzvahs prior to Luca's where I saw kids, even at, you know, the most expensive, the most amazing, the most whatever, you know, sitting on couches, on their phones, on Snapchatting each other, next to each other at this party. So I...
Horrible. Someone spent all this money.
Horrible.
And planned so much of their life on this big party. And then the child's wasting.
So Luca doesn't have a phone, and some of his best friends don't, but, you know, especially, you know, more and more are getting them and have them. And a lot, for whatever reason, the girls seem to have gotten them in like fifth and sixth grade. And, you know, they've gotten all these apps. I don't totally understand that. I don't have a girl. And so I told Luca months prior that there's a company called Yonder, and they have these lock bags and you put the phones in. And I was like, I actually had the whole contract done. I'm like, they're going to be at your bar mitzvah. Everybody's going to check in their phones. And he was like, you know, everyone's going to hate you. I'm like, I don't care. Like, they can hate me. So
wait, good for you.
So I had them
adults too.
Just the kids, right? So, you know, they can bring their phones, but I didn't want them to be having them. And, you know, my biggest thing wasn't them taking photos and, you know, video. It was them isolating and doing that. I've seen that, and it just really upsets me. So he spread the word. Everyone knew, and everyone was like, okay, had kind of was resigned to the fact that I was doing this. And I don't know. It was like a few weeks before, I'm like, you know what? They're all so freaked by doing this. I don't think it's going to be a problem. So I actually didn't have them come. The kids were like not on their phones.
That's amazing.
I spooked them.
I was like,
that's amazing.
But I was full on going to follow through with this.
But I love that you thought about this. I love, you know, when you go to concerts, I've seen this at.
Yes. It's so depressing.
It's depressing.
Bruno Mars, I think, does this. Yeah.
It's so depressing.
Yeah, because they don't.
Even during inauguration, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched like just people walking in. And then people are all like, I'm like, aren't you guys in Congress or something? Like, you guys are recording this?
It's so strange.
They were all like this in the audience, whatever it was, wherever they were. And I was like, how gross. Like,
yeah, it's true.
It blew my mind.
But yeah, the phone thing, I mean, I'm pretty lenient on a lot of things. That's the one thing I'm like, you know.
Good for you.
Yeah, I just think it's so bad.
I would say the same for myself as a parent.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that I'm lenient on that I wish I was not so lenient on.
Yeah.
But the phones are something that I just see as, I think we're going to all regret it.
Yeah.
Later.
I regret having one. And you know what? I think the reason girls have them earlier is for safety. You know what I mean?
Picking them up.
Yeah. If you have a girl, you're kind of,
maybe,
you're just a little more like, I want her to have a landline, like a bat line to me if she needs me.
Mm-hmm. But I think you're right that a lot of why, as parents, we're concerned about it is we see how addicted we are. I know I am
gross.
So addicted to my phone, and I started so much later than they're starting on their phones.
Yes. So and I worry about the ramifications of the phone use on your eyes. I mean, not just on your brain and your soul, but like, you
everything.
Know, no, but on your, no, but I'm serious. Like, think about the exposure to your eyes. Like, we don't have research on that like kids like staring at screens for that long, even computers.
Yeah. It's true that there's more research to come out, and I'm sure it's not great, but really what they're showing is that it's not so much the screen time. Yeah. It's that they're not outdoors looking at things far away. So kids that are outdoors,
Interesting.
So they showed this in a big study in China, actually, that kids that spend a lot of time outdoors, it works their eye muscles. Uh-huh. Like they have to practice accommodating because you're going far away, looking closer. It's exercise for the eyes.
I talked to our pediatrician about this.
Yeah. You did?
Oh, because my son's eye will go wonky after like a...
Staring at the screen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, it's the muscle. Like he needs breaks.
Yes.
No, I talked to an optometrist, a pediatric optometrist. And they're like, it's totally normal.
Yeah.
But he needs breaks. It's like the muscle gets weak and is like, you know.
Yep.
But I've also heard, I have a friend who, her husband's an oncologist. They don't sleep with their phones in the room. And I'm like, wait, why?
Because of
And she's like, the radiation. So like, I find myself... EMFs. Waking up in the middle of the night with my phone stuck to my kidney. I'm like, there goes one kidney. Like,
I just got seven solid hours
with an iPhone pressed against
my kidney. I think it's one kidney right next to your head. Wait, so what was the...
That's an area where there's not data.
Yeah.
But I understand that people worry
about it. I've woken
it
up on my cheek and I'm like, there, great.
There goes your cheek.
Same.
So wait, what was the... Ultimately, it was just that kids need to spend more time outside to get the eyes like changing...
Yeah. So my feeling is not so much like we talk so much about what kids shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And so I like to rephrase it if I can to what they should be doing or not what they should be, what I want them to be doing. So
I love that.
So, okay. Lead with like, what did they do today? Did they spend time outside? Yeah. Did they play with their friends? Did they do good things?
Mm-hmm.
And then, all right, you know, there's some wind down time at the end of the day if you want to look at screens here or there. I don't think that that's such a big deal.
Yeah. What
but do you think? You just don't want them doing it all day. You don't want them to be defined by a life of just looking at a screen.
We shouldn't be doing it all day.
We shouldn't be doing it all day.
What do you think about blue light? Like the blue blocker? Like, is that do you feel like that's a threatening thing? Or
I know people are really into blue light in terms of how it affects getting ready for bed and things like that. I bought the glasses. I never
bullshit.
Put them on.
Me too.
I think it's bullshit.
Me too.
Yeah.
When they're like,
your dad, I would probably call him and ask him about it. I'm sure he knows a lot.
So my dad introduced me to Jessica, Dr. Hockman.
Yeah.
I feel like I should be more formal. Yeah. No, so he was on your podcast.
He was on my podcast. It's going to come out next week.
Oh, cool.
He is amazing.
Yes. He's turning 80 on February 3rd. Yeah. He's been on ours a few times. He's so amazing.
He's so sharp.
Yeah.
He had me at everything. I mean, I was following all of his advice because I look at him and he's so young and so quick and so sharp. Yeah. But then he told me that for dessert, he has almonds.
Yeah.
And then I thought,
then you're like,
all right, I might not be as sharp. It's okay. I'm going to have to lose a little bit.
Things you don't want to talk to about with him or like alcohol. He's like, there's no benefits. I was like,
he's like poison.
It's poison to your body. I was like, okay, next topic.
Yeah.
Oh, but so sharp. So, you know, such a optimistic, smiley guy. I want to do his,
10K.
Race in November. I want to sign up.
I'm gonna do it. It's the 50th. It's the 50th.
He said the 50th.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are you gonna sign up for?
I'm gonna do the 10K.
The 10K.
Yeah. Not the half marathon.
Miles is that?
6.2. Yeah.
That's not bad. I could do that.
Yeah.
Come do it.
Yeah.
I could do it.
Come do it.
You should. We should all show up.
Charge our iPads. We'll get on a plane together.
Like, yeah. Here, let's go.
Here, hold it. We gotta run.
Yeah. He's very regimented to the point where, you know. It's not for everyone. I don't know anyone more regimented than him.
He seems so happy about it though.
He's a motivator.
He's motivated.
He really wants to motivate and like uplift people and get people excited about health and fitness. And what's interesting, I was thinking about this morning, he's been interested in longevity and anti-aging since he was like 20, you know? I mean, that's what's funny, you know? Because I think I see a lot of people my age and, you know, in their 50s or whatever, and then they start to get interested in it because you're like, okay, now like it's
yeah, you
do
start
or
to
die.
See, like back problems. Or
yeah. You're like, okay, now I have to actually have to care or be, you know, take it more seriously. But he's been serious about it since the beginning of his career. And I think it's just, it's really, I don't know.
He's
it's
like
really
Jack
cool.
LaMaine.
It's really
Was
cool.
that his name?
Who's that?
Do you remember him?
Who's Jack LaMaine?
Come on, the guys. Guy, Jack LaMaine.
He used going backwards in time.
He had the juicer and everyone was like, that's weird.
I was thinking of the Don't Die guy on
I just
on
watched
Netflix.
That.
Me too.
Brian
Johnson.
Johnson. Wait. Okay. What did you think of that?
I don't know.
Has
he been on your brother's podcast?
Yeah. Who?
Brian Johnson. They've talked about him before.
He doesn't eat after 11 a.m.
No. Oh, wait. Wasn't Tom was in the thing. They had Jack clips of Tom.
In the show?
In the show.
I did see that.
Yeah.
I did see that.
I Huh. Oh, I liked what the woman said. There was a clip of someone on a talk show saying, this guy wants more time, but he's not living the time that he has. He's just so...
I know. There's certain things that I see that I think I could learn something from. Okay, yeah. Yes. If I get to bed earlier, yeah. I can tell I feel better the next day.
Yeah.
If I cut back on desserts, yes, I do feel better. But I couldn't do it. I mean, he stops eating at 11 a.m. I love eating.
Have you
I
watched live this for eating. Show?
I enjoy eating.
Yes.
To stop at 11 a.m.
Wait, what time
he takes
he
100 pills a day or something. He starts like, it's like 8.
Okay, so he's eating pills for the rest of the day.
4:30?
No. You know, you should watch it and we'll talk about it on a, because it's
crazy.
It's
worth a conversation.
It's worth a conversation.
Well, your dad...
It's called Don't Die. It just came out.
Your dad's approach to longevity is what resonates with me.
Yeah. I
mean, maybe not, you know, I couldn't
pieces
do what
of
he
it.
Does,
yeah.
But he's not... Yeah. He's not taking a million supplements.
No, he's not like
he's
that.
He's eating
yeah.
dinner.
Yes.
He's Jack LaLanne.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Jack LaLanne.
He is Jack LaLanne.
Who is Jack LaLanne?
I guarantee you your father knows who.
Who is he?
He was a longevity fitness
guy. So creepy, him and his son.
I know. He used his son's plasma. I mean, those are the extremes that I think are...
What?
That's him and his son.
Yeah.
Wait, on the left. Naked together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so some of it I like, you know, okay, yes, I could eat healthier. I could go to bed earlier.
Yeah.
But taking my son's plasma.
What does he do with the plasma?
He injects it himself to see if it helps him stay younger.
Yeah.
How old is he?
45.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think 45 because I remember thinking
well,
my husband's
crazy.
Age.
Yeah. And he does like red light therapy every day. He does like the hair loss cap. He does, what else does he do every day?
He does a semi-glutide injection every day.
Oh, he does?
Every day?
Mm-hmm. Once a week,
oh,
I think. Once
did,
a week.
Oh, wait, did they show that?
He just started. I heard him on a podcast.
Oh, because they didn't. That wasn't in the thing.
Wasn't on the thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he had tried the human growth hormone, and then it increased the cranial pressure or something.
He'll try anything.
Oh, my God.
Anything, he's 47. Anything if it helps him live longer. Okay, 47. Yeah. But what I was going to say, what I like about
wait,
your
what
dad.
What does that say? Has robust nighttime erections?
What?
Look at that.
He measures them. He measures everything about himself.
Well, that's you know what? That is a marker of like really good health in men.
What? It's true. If a man sees that, they're going to say.
Nighttime erections?
Yes.
They're
just erections
want it.
In general.
That's interesting.
If it's healthy plasma hasn't. What?
That's okay. Interesting. Yeah.
He's a whole.
He looks
he's
kind of old.
Yeah, well, because he's trying too hard to, like, the long hair, I don't know, the, like, he had no sun. He does microneedling. I mean, he's doing,
he
like, weird.
Facials where, you know, his weird. Face looks bloody. A lot of it, it's not my thing. But I have a friend who went to his longevity workshop last weekend in L.A., and she got her microbiome tested. She did all these tests.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
Yeah, yeah. So she had a good time. She had a good experience, so.
Wait, so
they did a rave during the day, not at night.
A rave?
During the day so that they could go to sleep at night.
But did they actually have like alcohol?
We can pivot back. I don't think so. I didn't hear about that.
Oh, he's not drinking.
It was like Ashwagandha drinks.
What I was going to say about,
Let's get away from him. Oh my God, wait, that's really crazy.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he does a ton of filler too.
Yeah, some people think he's a little cult-like.
He looks very young on the right.
Tell me what you'll have to tell us what you think after you watch.
Okay. Maybe we'll have you back on and talk about just about this. We could do a whole episode.
Absolutely. There's
okay,
a lot,
pivot
lot to
back.
Talk about.
Pivot back.
Okay,
to,
so like, was there anything when you had kids, like seeing a pediatrician?
Yes.
Being a pediatrician, not seeing one.
Yes.
I'm assuming your husband, not pediatrician as well.
He's not a pediatrician.
Okay. Is he a doctor?
He's a doctor.
What kind
you
of doctor?
You guys like flock to one another.
I know. I know.
It's probably because you spend so much time in like residency and all that.
I think so. I think you. And
did
also
you meet in med school?
We met while we were both in medical school, but we were in different medical schools. But we had that in common. If that makes
Where did
sense.
You go?
I went to Boston University.
Amazing. And what about him?
Harvard.
Ugh, stop.
Okay.
I know.
Not me.
Now you're
that
just showing off.
That wasn't me.
You went to a good school too.
What kind of doctor is he?
He is. It's okay. He was a doctor.
Go ahead.
For the homeless. For the last few years.
Wow.
I know.
Oh my God.
Not my choice.
Not
my choice.
Okay.
But he likes it. He enjoys it. And now he's pivoting to helping the recently housed, those that were homeless now that are recently
like
housed.
An intern? Like a
he's
general,
an internist.
An
yeah.
internist.
Yeah. He's a public health degree. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I couldn't do what he does.
What did he set out to do after medical school? Like what was his interest? What was his field of interest?
I think he's always liked helping people. He's always liked helping like low socioeconomic people that don't have easy access to healthcare. Yeah. He really enjoys it. He's a much nicer person than I am.
How did you meet?
He really is. He really is. Anyone who people say he makes me look not like I'm a nice person, I think, but he makes me look not
like so the great. Devil.
Yeah, because he's so nice. We met in 2004, 20 years ago in Faneuil Hall. It's an area of Boston. We were at a bar.
Oh my God, yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I was a young 24-year-old.
And then your dad's a doctor also.
My dad's a doctor also.
A pediatrician.
He's a pediatrician. Yeah. So I work with him.
Yeah.
We've been working together for the last 14 years.
Yeah. That's so cool.
I want to know how you guys met your spouses.
Oh God, there's so many.
A lot of people think we're spouses.
Yeah. How did you guys meet?
We met in the mailroom at a talent agency.
Really?
Yeah. We were like the only girls there and it was like a man's world.
Yeah.
And then in come us. We're like,
when was that?
2004.
Yeah, 2004.
Wait, really?
You were at a bar.
We were working on our craft.
Yeah.
What talent agency was it?
Paradigm.
I asked like I would know the talent agency.
Yeah.
Okay. So you met and you hit it off and then you're still friends.
We've been friends ever since. Yeah.
That's really special.
Yeah. She kind of like glommed onto me because she thought I was Bill Gates' niece.
That was the rumor.
And then she got hooked and then was like, she's poor, but I guess I still like her. That was the rumor in the agency.
That's not why I liked you, but that was a rumor. That was a real rumor.
But there's something that you saw about her that you wanted, that you liked.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And she's like very independent and not needy at all. So whole life I've spent just like trying to like make her like need
whatever.
Me more.
I have so many boo-boos on my brain now. I call her crying from airports. I'm like, I think I'm dying.
Yeah.
We're good
at calming each other down.
We always calm each other down.
But it's really that finding a really quality friend that's like a lifer, that's the best.
Yeah.
It's very rare. You can't.
There's no one that can calm you. Your parents, your siblings. There's no one that can calm you besides someone outside that you independently chose. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The other day, this is a perfect example. I was thinking about this later. So the other day, I was just having...
you can be yourself with. Yeah.
It was, I mean, December and even January, obviously. So December for personal reasons, January because of all these fires and just the whole world is upside down. But it was 2 weeks ago? She came over. It was like a Sunday. My husband's sitting there doing a puzzle at the table and she's sitting across from me and I just start crying. Like, I'm like, it's just, everything's so hard. Start like going, and my husband like isn't reacting. He just keeps doing the puzzle. And then later, Connie's like, that was weird. Like, he didn't react at all. Like, but
you never see her cry.
But it didn't bother me at the time because sometimes he's non-reactive, my husband, which is actually great for our marriage most of the time. But sometimes I'm also like, I need him to be, but I wasn't mad about it. And I thought about why is because I think he knew at that moment what I needed, he couldn't give me.
Yeah.
It was like, I needed you to hear me and I needed you to make it okay for me or try to like comfort me.
I was like, oh my God.
And I think he knew that like, there was nothing he was going to say to me at that point. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
In his defense, because I was like, that was fucked up. Should I get mad at him now about it?
Well, I was more like, how long have you been crying?
Yeah.
She's like, just that day. I was like, okay, it just scared me because he didn't react. And then I was like, oh God.
Well, I just, you know, once I wouldn't have cried unless you were there because I felt like I needed to cry. Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like it's hard for people to handle crying. Like they see emotions and they're not, they don't know what to make of it. Yeah. Especially, I think, men.
I cry like once a year.
Men across the board. What'd you say?
I cry about once a year.
I'm like that too.
Whoa.
I think it's the meds I'm on. I don't think it's like, I think it's like blunted that emotion.
Blunt.
Like close like my bangs. Tear ducts. Yes.
You're wearing bangs.
I don't know. It's interesting. Some people are criers, which I think is totally fine. Totally. And then some people.
Oh, during the fires, my husband couldn't stop crying.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's very sentimental.
He'd turn on
very sensitive.
Coldplay and start crying. I was like, stop playing this shit. Like, he'd turn it on like in every room. And then the girl I had over started crying. I was like, can we turn this shit off? Like,
oh my gosh, that's
dark. He's like, just so many people lost their homes. I was like, stop. The kids are watching you.
That's true too, right? Yeah. You have to be careful with the kids because like, they totally suck up your energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my youngest.
Now
is
I know
like
why
following.
Your youngest was tantruming.
Yeah. I mean,
it's fine.
She was like, no more fires. I was like, shh, don't say that. She's probably emotional. It's like, we just don't have friends over anymore.
But she's probably feeling, you know, it's
no,
emotional.
She's we're all scared of her. She's very emotional.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in LA?
I grew up in the suburbs in an area called Agora Hills.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Where did you guys grow up?
Are your parents still married?
My parents are still married.
Okay.
40 something years.
I knew that. Okay.
40 something years. They live in Oak Park. They live in Agora.
Okay.
And our office where I work is right by their house. Yeah. And so it's been great. I get to draw. I don't live by where I work, but I get to see a lot of people that I grew up with where I work. So
you're in Studio City?
I'm in Studio City.
And then your practice is in?
Oak Park.
So how far is that?
It's about 30 minutes.
Okay.
40
it's not
minutes.
That bad.
An hour.
Are you off the 101?
Off the 101.
What exit?
Canaan.
Okay. Okay. So you're by, kind of by...
Her practice, right?
Yeah, her practice. Yeah. Like, yeah.
What's your address?
No, I'm, yeah, I'm like, I'm ready to jump ship with our pediatrician, but actually I'd rather just be like your best friend. You can be in our crew.
You can know.
What are you thinking? And this is a question not only for kids, but adults as well, with the fires and what they're saying about the air quality. I read yesterday someone saying that it'll take 2 years for the air in LA to like actually clear out. Like, do you think our kids should be wearing masks? Like, do you think we should be wearing masks? What is your take on that?
Do you want me to be honest?
Yeah. Yes. We should move.
I think it's a tricky question because nobody really knows the answer. And so you can go as fearful as you want to go. And you can also be as put your head in the sand as you want to go.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm a believer in, I just want to do the biggest things and call it a day and just live my life.
Yeah.
So the biggest things I think are getting an air purifier. Uh-huh. If you can, they're not that expensive. Just put one in your room where you sleep, in your kid's room where they sleep. They're great quality ones for around $100. You can get on Amazon.
I just got a second one.
You did? Great. Easy to do. And I think you spend most of your time, if you're going to spend your time anywhere, it's probably in your room. Yeah. So high quality, like very impactful place to put a air purifier. Yeah. And then I believe in trusting your nose. Like if you smell smoke, do something about it. It's not good to smell smoke. Yeah. So if you're smelling smoke, either leave, put a high quality mask on, go somewhere indoors, close the doors.
What about the thinking that there's all these particles that we can't smell or see and the plastics and the blah?
So that's the tricky part. Yeah. And I've talked to a lot of doctors about this, so many different opinions. Yeah. It's never going to be perfect, right? Like the truth is we live in Los Angeles. I mean,
our air quality isn't great.
We live in Los Angeles. We're always breathing some sort of exhaust or someone's secondhand smoke.
Yeah.
So when it comes to smoke from fires, how I understand it is those little particles you can't smell, right? But little particles travel with big particles, smoke that you can smell.
Yeah.
So they're not by themselves.
Yeah, they're
if
like,
that makes sense. Yeah, right?
We don't have the creepers.
Yeah.
It's never going to be perfect.
Yeah. So,
but if you're smelling smoke, that's probably where the small, like microplastics and small particles are.
Okay.
So that's what I think.
I know.
Like,
we live in LA.
Things.
Yeah.
Those are the big things.
My dad's like, it's time for you to move to Arizona. I'm like, I am not moving to Arizona.
I know people are getting very scared and I understand, especially if you live somewhere close to the fires. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to be digging in ash, I would either not do it or I would be very careful and mindful about what you're wearing on your
My daughter hasn't taken a mask off in 2 weeks.
Oh, she hasn't?
Nope. Yeah. Well, she never got to wear it during COVID.
It's more of
like a hobby where she's like, these are amazing. Oh. I have so many.
And I think
and
that's
she
fine.
She dodged influenza A. 6 kids in her class were taken out by influenza A.
There you go.
I'm like, you can take the mask.
I think a lot of the schools are putting the air filters in the classrooms too.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. I think it's horseshit.
Yeah, I can.
It's better than nothing.
Can I tell you? I think a lot of this shows people's personalities. Yeah. It's like a Rorschach test.
Yes.
You know, where you look at the art and interpret
it. What do you see?
Yeah, people that are the most nervous, they probably are that way in their
everything.
Yeah. I also think this is going to sound, I don't know how this will make me sound, but I feel like something's going to get me someday and it's probably not going to be
the micro rash.
Right? I mean, there's so much to worry about. There's endless to worry about.
Yeah.
So that's why my feeling is I just do the big things.
Just do the big things.
I'm not going on runs
outside
right now.
Yeah.
No, that's to me, that's obvious. But the air purifiers, like my husband bought them for every room and I'm like, we're drowning it. I'm like, really? We don't keep the doors open. So what are we just purifying our breath?
It's also going to rain this weekend, which I'm excited about.
I know, right?
But Saturday. Then there's like a landslide potential from all the burned ground.
That's what my friends that are extra nervous about what they're inhaling, they're praying for rain because after that,
it should.
It's going to rain.
Yeah. Yes.
This weekend.
I can't wait.
A big rain. Okay. Another question.
So anyways, that's why I like the title of your podcast.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I know. It goes right with your kid is normal.
Yeah. That's why I like it goes hand in hand. When your dad told me that your podcast was called Don't Worry About It, I'm like,
yeah,
I just like the name of it.
It's funny because before when we didn't have it, but we would always be we would say something serious and be like, I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
And there's endless to worry about.
Yeah.
Endless. There's always going to be something.
Always.
So that's why.
What is your take on a kid who got taken out, asking for a friend, by influenza B, like hardcore fever for 10 days?
Yeah.
Would you suggest that kid gets the flu shot after that?
Oh,
it's a hot button topic.
Yeah, hot button topic. Yeah.
There is no wrong answer. What is your take on that?
So there's different strains of the flu, right? So someone could say, sure, get the flu shot because the flu shot covers four different strains. Influenza B is just one particular strain.
Influenza A, influenza B.
And then there's a sub strain of flu A. There's and a sub strain of flu B.
Okay.
So flu A, I was seeing more recently than flu B. So you could say in theory, get the flu shot because you could still get the flu. I've seen kids get the flu twice.
And you think that the upside is way more than the downside?
To be honest, the flu shot, I view it as another layer of protection. It's not perfect. Yeah. So if someone were to tell me I get the flu shot because I'm around the flu all the time. Yeah. But vaccines that cover respiratory viruses. Yeah. So that's includes COVID. Yeah. That's why we don't have a vaccine for colds. Yeah. Respiratory viruses, they just change really fast.
Yeah. So there is no vaccine.
They're never perfect. Yeah. So in South America, the data on the flu shot for this year shows it's 35% effective.
Which is good, no?
I think it's okay.
Oh.
You know, it's not perfect.
I'd like to be at 60.
What is the
goal?
What
is over? Yeah, the goal is
over 50.
Over 50. Yeah.
Does that happen? Is that a common thing? Are there years where it's over 50?
Last year was just over 50.
Wow.
In South America.
That's funny. Wow. Yeah. 60, you sold me. Yeah. 30, it's like. Good
why
luck.
Don't we have so that
that's,
statistic?
It's a personal. That's why I view it as a personal choice.
I just
it's not
got
perfect.
It.
You did
what? Yeah. And I think timing is everything because all these nut jobs that got their flu shot in August or even worse, like the beginning of August, I was like, well, shit, how effective is that now? August, September, October, November, December, January. Now I'm seeing influenza A.
How did you know that, by the way?
What?
I think you're right.
What?
That when you get it closer to when you get it closer to the flu season, it's most effective.
Of course. Yeah. I got it in January with my son and I'm like, of course I'm going to get it in January. Or December.
You
but
think
I'm not getting
it makes
in
sense
August.
To wait till you're really there?
Well, it's recommended to get in October because no one ever, we don't know exactly when the flu season's going to hit and it takes a couple of weeks to really work well.
Yeah.
But you timed it right.
I normally get them all in October because Luca's birthday and I just take, that's when he goes and I take them all. But because of the bar mitzvah, I kind of forgot. I ended up getting mine first week of November. And so my son who got the flu really bad didn't have it. And I was just like, oh, if he did, it would have probably not have been as severe.
That's the hope.
Or
is
shorter.
If you
or
do get it,
severity.
If you still get the flu shot if you get the flu shot, you still get the flu, that it won't be as strong, as severe. But they recommend to get it in October. There was a good study this year that showed the best time to get it is in October. Yeah. But it's tricky because you want to hit it before the peak of flu season.
I think beginning of December is sweet spot.
Yeah.
Do you think that statistic you said from South America would be any different if from a North America statistic?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the data to come out because I like telling families data. Yeah. I feel like that way you can make your choice. Maybe to you, 35% is great, and to you, you're like, eh.
Well, I was thinking it was super effective this year because I had gotten it and was completely exposed to it.
Yes.
And I definitely didn't feel great, but I didn't have a fever. I wasn't, you know.
Oh, so you got the flu and did. And
I didn't swab myself, but I'm sure I had it because I was sleeping next to him and very exposed. He was swabbed at the ER and swabbed at the pediatrician's.
And he had B.
Yeah, B. Which is
fever for 10 days.
So what's weird with this one, and I have two older kids, obviously.
That's my next question.
What'd she say?
I said, that's my next question for you. She goes, that's stressful.
So I'd never seen a fever go away. It went away for 24 hours and then came back.
That can happen.
I've never seen that. And that now I'm hearing that more because there were half of his class was out. And so I ended up talking to parents, sort of the tail end of it, which gave me comfort because they're like, the same thing happened to Jill. And I'm like, oh my God. Well, we were a few days out of that, but I was like, well, this is what this one's doing. I've never seen that happen.
So it can happen. Usually when fevers are gone for a day, they stay gone.
Yes.
But the concern would be why pediatricians always say,
secondary.
Gone, right. You worry, did it become an ear infection? Mm-hmm. Did it become a pneumonia? So they'll often say, come back and get checked out. If it was gone for a day or two and came back, might as well get checked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it does happen.
Ugh.
What stresses you out? It was funny. I talked to one, I think it was a pediatrician once. And I was like, oh, it's just my kid has a fever. It's so stressful. She's like, fevers don't stress me out.
They don't stress
They're like, out. Abdominal pain, that stresses me out. I was like, why? I was like, why would you put that in my...
And then you're like, I think I have it.
I was like, oh my God. I was like, does everyone's stomachs feel okay? Yeah. But like, what stresses you out?
Yeah, I guess it's almost, I'm scared to say all the things because I don't want to put it in, yeah, in
it's
your
okay.
head.
It's already there, probably.
It's already there. I worry about like the, you know, there's certain things that I've seen in patients where they have had really bad outcomes. Honestly, the biggest thing are accidents. Like I stress about my kids driving.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. I've kids get fevers all the time and they...
Yeah, and it doesn't stress you out.
No.
Even with your own.
It's interesting because sometimes the first second the fever's there, it's like, what's happening?
Yeah. You're like,
and then I'm like, wait a second. I see fevers all the time. Yeah. It's totally fine. It's the body's natural way of fighting whatever's bothering the body. So I wouldn't be telling the truth if I said they never bothered me, but I can talk myself out of very quickly.
I mean, two doctors in one house, I'm sure. Yeah. The best thing to do to calm your nerves is talk to a doctor. The second best thing is talk to a parent who's got a kid dealing with the same thing. You know
it's
what
so
I mean?
True.
Those are that is helpful.
Those are the two things that calm me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm like, best thing, and I'll reach out to any, I'll even, like, any doctor.
Yeah, like what happened
pimple
to your
popper.
Kid?
I don't care. As long as you went to med school, you will calm me.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
but that's the fun of it. That's the fun of, that's my favorite feeling is to feel like I'm making somebody feel better.
It's, you have no idea the value on that.
Oh, thank you.
Do you find yourself,
yeah, I definitely worry about things. Everyone worries about things.
You've been, that makes me feel better. You've been practicing. So for how many years have you been practicing?
I've been practicing 14 years.
And do you feel like as the years go on, you get and like start, I don't want to say annoyed, but start to get like burnt out and being like, I have to say this again. And do you feel like you're like, you know, it's broken record, like, and you're losing that like excitement for it? Or is it just, does it always feel new and different?
Okay. I would say mostly it feels great, but I can tell if it's been a long day or if I've worked too many days in a row or I was on call and I got wakened and I'm just mostly from being tired, I can feel burnt out. Yeah. But genuinely, I really like what I do.
Like, does the empathy fade like 15 years into it and you've got like a new mom? They're like, I'm so freaked out. It's 101. You're like, it is. Like, no kidding. Like, try Tylenol. You're wasting my time.
Honestly, not really. Like
sometimes I get
the middle of the night calls can get you a little bit not as like, I can feel myself. I'm like, that wasn't patient me. That wasn't the me I want to be.
Yeah.
But usually no, I really like, especially if you're with talking to nice parents that just want help.
Yeah.
It's a very nice role to be because I can confidently tell you that your kid's going to get better. Like the beautiful thing about children that I tease my husband about because he can't say this, but kids genuinely get better.
Yeah, exactly.
My mom always says the closer to birth, higher the immune.
That's right.
And then she always says, pull them into your calm, not into. Pull them into your calm. Don't let them pull you into their chaos.
She's brilliant.
She's a child development person.
There's one of my favorite child psychologists. Her name is Dr. Siggy Cohen. She's amazing. She always says your number one power as your parent is your calm. Your power.
My mom always says that.
Yeah.
And I never saw my mom yell.
Really?
I never saw her flip out. No, she's very even keeled.
She's a school psychologist. Wait, what did you say she is?
Like, she was right now, she owns a company that builds child development centers in hospitals and like big corporate settings.
Wow.
But before that, she was a principal.
Teacher.
My dad went to law school, so she taught speed reading just because they needed to make money. And then she fell into being a teacher and then a principal and then this is what she does now. But she's very in tune. She worked with NACI and like, so she's very in tune with like early childhood development. And
it's amazing. And it's really hard to do. You know, when your kids know how to push your buttons, they know
shit could be on fire and she just walks slowly through that. And I'm like,
it's true.
She's like, pull them into your calm. I'm like, look at it. Fucking
I think with Luca especially, I feel like he's so me that it's like some of the things I'm disciplining him about, I feel like I'm yelling at myself. Like I'm like, don't do this or, you know, like be more organized. And I'm like, like, you know, it's like it's because of me. And then I want them to, you know, you want your kids to be even better than you are.
Of course.
So that
makes a lot of sense too. You see in your kid your faults and you want them to be better.
Yes.
I totally get that.
And it like messes with my mind. I'm like, how do I like try to, you know, be above this? Because it's ingrained in my behavior.
It's true. Mm-hmm. No, sometimes my oldest will be a little stubborn and I'm like, she's being so stubborn. And my husband's like, well,
the DNA pool.
Yes. Like, okay. All right. All right.
What hospital do you like most of your patients deliver at? Like, are you Cedars? Like, where are you?
I was at Cedars for many years. Yeah. Until during COVID, I stopped going there. It was just too much of a headache.
Yeah.
From where I work. Yeah. But Los Robles, it's a hospital in Thousand Oaks that I've been going to for
a long time. What if a patient, if a parents deliver a baby,
yes,
they can really do it anywhere, I guess. And then you have to go.
Have to go.
Just like,
how'd you know that's a pain? That's probably a pain the biggest pain. Yeah. I like it though. It's really cute to see. It's a pain to be there. But I love hearing their name for the first time. Yeah. I love seeing a baby when they're first born. Yeah. It's a really sweet moment.
Yeah. Oh, that's how you knew you wanted to be a pediatrician. I'm like, I could care less about both those things. Like, no, I don't want to hold your baby.
That's just part of the job.
I mean, that you're a good person. You're like, I can't wait to hear their name. I'm like, don't really care.
It's a sweet moment. Yeah. It's sweet. It's a nice time.
I would like being around newborns.
Yeah, and newborns are, like your mom said, closer to birth.
I mean, stronger than
they're so strong.
Is that true? Like, I mean, because aren't they building their immune as they get older?
It's probably not true for the first couple of months.
Okay.
But very shortly after, kids get very, very, very resilient, very strong.
Well, if you think about it, like think about like a 2-year-old that gets like influenza. Like they've never gotten that.
That's what I mean.
And they bounce back pretty quickly. It takes us out by the knees. And we've had like 40 years to prep for it.
Yes. I don't know. I always feel like I have more immunity than them. But is that not the case?
You probably have a strong immune system.
You do have, in a way, you have had more illnesses. Yeah. So adults, like parents, get sick fewer times than kids. Yeah. It's just that I know, it's not that kids get sick a lot because they're building their immunity, but it's just that they recover. Like my confidence that they're going to get better, I'm confident.
You're like the odds of them having something else underlying are lower.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, kids definitely have some issues that adults don't.
Yes.
Like some breathing issues are common with kids that adults tend not to have. Yeah. Like eczema is a common thing for kids that adults tend to grow out of. There's definitely certain things that kids have more problems with, but lots to offer.
Do you see kids grow out of like, you know, relatively like mild asthma?
Definitely.
You do?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
See, isn't it funny?
Are you asking for a friend?
I'm asking for a friend.
Oh yeah.
And the friend is sitting next door.
So no, he's next door. My young, he has like, like kind of like environmental like asthma, I guess. And, you know, most of the often it's not like super emergent, but there have been a few occasions where it's gotten like severe. But he didn't have it until, you know, maybe like 4 years old.
Yes. Sorry.
And then
stressful.
Yes. Stressful. Yes.
Don't worry.
And then, but then I wonder, like, you know, maybe I don't know when he's like 10, 11, 12, I don't know. It's possible.
Definitely. So asthma, we think of it a lot in chunks of of 5 years. So the first 5 years are the hardest. Yeah. Between 5 and 10, it gets a lot better. Ooh. And then 5, 10 to 15, even better. And then adulthood, very rarely do you meet an adult who is struggling with asthma.
Interesting. Love
Their airways get bigger.
Fuck yes.
Look at you, healed. What about eczema? Those start at the joints, that itchiness.
Oh yeah, tell us about your itchiness. Let's see if Jessica has any.
Okay, I had like this, not mental break, I think it was combined, but see, I talk about it, I start itching. A few years ago, I had a lot of health issues with my tonsils, whatnot, and I started itching horribly all over my body, like my lower back. I just was itchy.
Lymph node itch, maybe?
I have no idea. Okay. Now, granted, she hates hearing this, but I did pop a tonsil during the time, and it started happening 12 hours after I popped a tonsil.
You popped a tonsil?
Yeah, she doesn't even know. I can't.
So I don't know if it was like, toxins going into my body, and I had a reaction, or if it was like, so anyway, long story short, go to her ENT. It was diagnosed as
alien.
A crypt?
Tonsil Candidia, crypt. Like an overgrowth.
Okay, yeast.
Yes. Like thrush. Pretty much in my throat.
Okay.
Which they're like, we have no idea how you have this because you're not a newborn. But anyway, so I did several bouts of antibiotics. We finally found one that worked, knocked it out. Haven't had that since. This was
But antibiotics don't help yeast.
Yeah. Antifungal must have been. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what I took.
Going.
But anyway.
Keep going. Keep going.
Yeah. So anyway, about a week ago, it was just want to make sure you're getting
good care. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know. He also said I could bleach the spot on my nose. And apparently, according to a derm, you can't, but neither here nor there. So anyway, the itching has come back. And when it triggers me because I was like, is it chiggers? Is it a stress rash? Like, but I think once you get in your head about it, I start going, now I itch fucking everywhere.
Yep.
So here's what I have.
Well, we go down like witch hunts because we assume sinister things are at play.
I had to do 3 laps around the office yesterday because I took a picture of the rash and Googled it. Uh-huh. And it's like, if this is on your vascular arm, wedding ring.
Vascular arm?
Vascular arm. Your left arm is your vascular arm, correct?
Vascular would mean vascular is
well,
the
according
veins.
To Google, this is our vascular.
Sandra, let's Google
vascular arm.
I mean, all arms are vascular.
Your left arm. No, that's why you wear a wedding ring on your left finger. That's where your main artery ends.
No.
Guys, it's like...
Okay, wait. So,
you think your doctor's something.
What is a...
So, okay, so tell me. So
go on. We'll debunk this later,
The itch. Here we go. I think it's your left arm.
Kati, you have no evidence.
Whatever. So my left arm itches.
Okay.
I thought a vascular arm because you wear your wedding ring on that arm.
Okay. Okay.
So look at this.
Oh, you've been itching.
I know I've been itching. So then I thought it was chiggers. And then
what the hell is chiggers?
They're little red bugs.
Okay.
And you can't get rid of them. So anyway, I've been itching. I put lotion on it. It's fine. But like these little things are from me itching so bad.
Do you have it on the other side?
Nope.
Do you have it anywhere else in your body?
Nope.
What? I look after. What are you doing to it?
Yeah. I'm itching it.
Just itch. Are you putting anything on it?
Hydrocortisone?
No. I haven't tried any ointments or anything. I put lotion on it.
All right. So this is, you want me to give you some advice?
Yeah.
Please.
But
stop itching it.
No.
Okay, good.
That's hard. I mean,
sure. That would help.
Okay. So the first thing I would think about with all the fires, maybe there's something in the environment that's making you itch. Yeah. So I would definitely, obviously, take a shower, clean your body. And then I would put some hydrocortisone on it.
Okay.
That'll help with the itching. And then I'd probably take an antihistamine. Yeah. Like Zyrtec, Allegra, Claritin.
I told you that, the antihistamine.
That didn't do anything, though. So I took Benadryl last night.
Oof.
Why?
Yeah. So it just makes sedating. It just makes you tired.
I know. I took it before bed. It was amazing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, good.
Okay.
Okay. So I should just start taking an allergy pill.
I would do an allergy pill and a.
What's hydrocortisone?
It's a steroid cream, but it's very weak.
So this isn't alarming to you? It doesn't look like kidney failure? It
does not look like kidney failure.
I have a bunch of strong prescription hydrocortisone if you want.
Wait, how did you go to kidney failure?
Yeah.
Because it was on my vascular arm and there was a rash.
The vascular arm is not a thing.
And so I was like, oh my God. And then I started looking for like swelling in my lymphs or my, I was like, oh no. Is it?
Where else is it itching?
Well, today.
You said everywhere, but your arm.
It's my arm. Yeah. And it only happens at work. So I'm like, is it stress related? Like right now it's not itching. But like, and then I start itching it and like my back's a little itchy. Now granted, I haven't done anything to try to stop it. Like I'm not drinking any water.
Water would stop it.
Okay. You don't. I called my dad. He's like, I'm itchy as hell. And I was like, really? He's like, when I drink water, it helps. He's like, Florida. You have dry skin.
Maybe. I think a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on drinking water. And yes, drinking water's good, but it's not going to, just follow your thirst. If you're thirsty, drink, but you don't have to push
it. Okay, well, I'm like a cat, though. So I'm like, me.
No, try that. Try the, just try 2 days of hydrocortisone. Take a daily shower, especially after you've been outside.
Yeah.
And an antihistamine.
Which one do you recommend?
Because I do Zyrtec or Allegra.
Ooh. It's interesting you didn't say Claritin because I was taking Claritin.
I do.
There's been showing that Claritin's not as good as the other two.
So
I think it's fine, but
Dominic
allergists are
takes,
now favoring Allegra.
Claritin and Singulair every day.
Yes.
You think you like Zyrtec better?
Zyrtec or Allegra is now
any
what allergists
doctor
are
will
more in
tell
favor.
You Zyrtec.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
All my doctors, it's...
Allegra is over-the-counter?
Over-the-counter. Yeah.
And why? I mean, I know it's a different medication, right? It's a different kind of antihistamine.
So Benadryl is to get like nitty gritty about it, is in its own class. Yeah. It's an older class of antihistamine. The newer classes are the Claritin,
the non-sleepy,
Allegra, the non-sedating ones.
Yeah.
And Zyrtec and Claritin. Recently, allergists are favoring Zyrtec and Allegra.
Why? They're just because it's not as effective.
Effective and fewer side effects, even though Claritin I find safe.
So what's in Claritin D? What makes it the D?
The decongestant.
Oh, is that what that is?
I stay away from
that. And that's why that's behind the counter?
Yeah, they're all behind the counter
now. It's so weird.
They're expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I thought people were making meth out of them.
We've talked about how the pharmacies are so ghetto now. I mean, it's literally like...
Maybe you're right.
They put like... What did they have? They had like razors locked up. I'm like...
Everything's locked up. I know. It's not a good sign. Not a good sign.
No, I tried to buy Neosporin the other day. I was like ringing the bells. Like, I was like, I am really itchy. Can someone help me out here, people?
I know. I have really strong hydrocortisone chin that you should use.
Was it really behind the counter? That's terrible.
No, not behind the counter, but it had a little thing.
Neosporin.
Yeah. Neosporin. And you know what else was?
What?
My, like a little sponge to apply makeup. I was like, so we're not shopping. I could do this online at this point. I was just like ringing doorbells all over CVS. Yeah. And I was like,
it's so true.
I was like, while I have you, can you just follow me? I was like, I want to cruise these two aisles.
That can't be good for their business. Like, who's going to shop? Neosporin's behind the counter.
Someday soon, the whole pharmacy system and these drugstores are going to be, they need to be revamped. I mean, it doesn't work anymore. There's like, it's the weirdest vibe. Even in the nicest areas, all these pharmacies are very strange.
I agree with you.
My Rite Aid shut down. I mean, it was just like, and there was never anything there.
We've talked about this.
Yeah, it's like
an
apocalypse.
You and Bert go to Rite Aid blows my mind.
She hates Rite Aid.
My husband loves CVS. I don't understand.
Of course, because
he gets everything there.
Rightfully so. Birthday gifts. He would never go into a Rite Aid.
Anniversary
you can buy
gifts.
Anything there.
Well,
I avoid it.
I go to whatever's
Walgreens
close to me.
And CVS, Rite Aid.
Yeah, I get that.
Do you have your patients call you like Dr. Jessica or Dr. Hockman? Like, what do they call you?
So I introduce myself as Dr. Hockman, but people, honestly, as long as people are nice, I don't care what they call me. I really don't. Yeah.
So are you and your dad?
I wouldn't follow that rule. I'd be like, I'm a doctor.
Is it 50-50 like with in terms of your patient load?
With who sees who?
Yeah, you and your dad. Is there another doctor in the practice or just the two of you?
We have a couple other doctors in the practice, yes.
Nice.
Yes, we have a really lovely young gentleman that we just hired this year.
Nice.
Which has been great. Actually, that's why I can take Fridays off. Thank you, Dr. Lanson.
Amazing.
That's why I can be here today.
Yay.
So that's a new thing the last few months. Yeah. And then we have a nurse practitioner who's been there for a few years and she comes in part-time.
Amazing.
Nurse practitioners. They
She's
are the
great.
Secret weapon.
It's
she
crazy.
Is a secret
they
weapon.
Secret
She's amazing.
I don't understand why they don't just become doc. I mean, is it just, it's like they still have to go to school for 3 years after undergrad, right?
It's not as intense as medical school. I mean, they don't have to go to medical school or do a residency, but they go get their nursing degree and then they do training afterwards.
Oh, and that's what makes them nurse practitioner as opposed to an RN.
Yeah, they have their RN and then they do more training after that.
Which makes them able to prescribe.
Oh, wait, then what's the difference between a physician's assistant?
Excellent question.
Yeah.
Physician's assistant go to a 4-year school.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's shorter, actually. I might be wrong. But it's sort of, they go to a medical school, but it's PA school. It's a version of medical school.
Yeah.
PA
okay. school. Why would anyone do that instead of just going all the way? Like, what would be a reason?
Not getting into medical school. Be a big reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're easier to get into, and then you're kind of like,
I'm like,
you're always like under somebody.
They want to be more hands-on with the patient. You're like, or they didn't get on.
I think it's a backup.
She should have gone for nurse
practitioner. I meet great PAs. There's wonderful physician's assistants, so
they're pretty much like doctors now.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe also the responsibility is a little bit less.
It's a little bit less. And not everybody's a great test taker, which I don't fault anybody for because there's...
I do.
You do?
No, I'm not either.
I gotta say though, when you're having a baby, those nurses are with you.
The best.
I'll never forget. The doctor walked in and like heart rate was going to shoot. He was like, tell me about the day. What do you think we should do? Like, because they're not in the weeds.
I agree.
The registered nurse that was with me all day, she was like, here's what I think. And he totally listened to her advice. And I was like, so that's why you do what you do.
Yes.
Like, you don't want to be on call all day. That's so disruptive to your life.
Oh, yeah. No.
Where'd you deliver?
Cedars.
Amazing. I love Cedars.
Yeah. And I was like, you have your own sense of like life because you're not on call.
Mm-hmm.
You determine your hours. You want to work the night. You want to work morning. Like, you kind of have that flexibility where you're not totally married to medicine. No, a registered nurse.
Well, and labor and delivery nurses are a special breed.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, they're amazing.
I mean.
Mine was Fiona. I'll never forget Fiona. She was at UCLA. She was amazing. She was a gift. Thank you, Fiona. Yeah.
Thank you, Fiona.
Yeah, so
if your kids had to, or you had to go to a hospital, you would go to the Los Robles one, like by you?
My
kids? If anybody in your family needed to go somewhere, where would you go?
I like Cedars. I like Children's. For bread and butter, Los Robles is great. Yeah. So it depends on what the issue is.
Yeah,
something's really specialty. Children, Cedars, UCLA are the three in the area.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
sorry, but to speak to your nurse point, my middle son was in the NICU, and those nurses are like, they're like saving lives, like on the hour.
NICU nurses are amazing.
Because the doctors aren't sitting there bedside.
And the alarms that go off, I was like, can we just mute the non-urgent ones?
Yeah. That's
there's
scary.
Like, there's no such thing. I was like, this is awful.
Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. Can we mute, like, can we mute the...
And the people, and the ER nurses. I mean, just the normal ER. I'm like, you know, I had to take Dom in December. And those women are like, I don't know how they do that every day. I mean, the men too, sorry. Yeah. But these ones that day particularly were women. But I'm like, how do you do this?
I know. No, they're very special human beings. Absolutely.
I'd be so itchy if I had that job. I'd be like, what are your symptoms?
Did you ever, when you were in medical school, like get anxiety about some of the things you were reading about?
Oh, everybody does.
Okay.
Totally.
They call that's it what I third year medical school.
Oh,
syndrome.
Everybody
okay,
does.
So that's,
you read a rash and you're like, do I have this rash?
So that's,
do I have
okay,
this?
So that's fully normal.
Oh my goodness. Okay. And all the psych stuff. Yeah. It's like, oh, this quality, you know, you get nervous or you think someone's great or you're not a good sleeper. I'm like, I'm not a good sleeper. Do I have insomnia or whatever you're reading about? You think either you have it or you're diagnosing a friend with it.
I would diagnose you with everything.
Oh, for sure.
It was terrible when I was pregnant because I was pregnant in residency and I was seeing a lot of babies in the NICU and learning about, you know, bad things that happen when you're pregnant. And that was not a good combination.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's like, I'd rather not know.
I remember going to the OB saying, like, is there a head in there? Is there a developing brain? Because I just learned about babies.
Can we
that
check
didn't
out
have...
the spine
Can
together?
Check out the spine, yeah. Yeah. So those are the things I worry about.
Did you do an amnio with any of your pregnancies?
I did that with my third kid. I did that genetic test at 10 weeks.
Was that, do they have to go into
the name right now.
No, it's just a blood test.
Oh, it wasn't like amniotic fluid. Okay.
No, I never did. Did you?
I did with my third because of because of some chromosomal thing that had come back positive. Luckily, it ended up not being.
They usually leave that for our last.
But they were basically like, if this is positive, it's like not. This is not a viable pregnancy, and that they're like. So I had no option but to do an amnio, and luckily, it was fine. And the, you know, cause that can just the amnio in general could be compromising. Yeah. But the test came back fine. Thank God. But my sister opted to do them both times just because she's like that.
She wants to know the information.
She was willing to like, yeah.
I like your.
Yeah. She was willing to like do, to take that risk in order to have that peace of mind. Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
What, when you get nervous, do you call your dad or who do you call when you're.
Oh yeah. We both do.
You both call him?
She's recently got his cell phone number this last year.
I can't find it with my new phone, though, so I'm kind of panicked. So we'll exchange info.
Yes, I do. I try to spare him whenever I can.
Yes.
But for me, I'll go through, like, I'll have, like, a good 3 years where I'm, like, I feel very, like, not... paranoid and freaked out about something. And then I'll have, like, a 6 to 9 month period where it's like, oh, my God. Oh, wait. That just went away. But this, you know, like, and I feel like I'm coming out of one of those phases. So he's gotten a lot of like calls from me in the last few months.
But oh, I can tell you.
Pediatric stuff, I actually don't typically run by him. No. It's pretty different, wouldn't you say?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. And I don't like to put him on the spot when it comes to my kids. If it's me and he's wrong, I'm like, okay, we'll smoke if you got him. He's not an alarmist. He's not like throw away antibiotics on board. He's not like that.
Which I really like about him.
Yes. I never had an antibiotic when I was little. Never once with strep throat. I never.
Why do you think can those infections go away on their own if you just leave them?
As a kid,
strep throat can actually. Yeah.
My parents just didn't, and I think we had a pediatrician that was not
a treater or
no,
not a.
They're like, keep an eye on it.
Yeah, technically, you want to treat strep throat because it gets it to go away.
It was really fastly. It was really traumatic.
So most sore throats with strep will go away eventually, but it can take like 5-7 days.
Whoa. Yeah.
Ow.
And then there's a fear if you don't treat it, sometimes the bacteria
Scarlet
can cause
fever.
Problem later. Yeah. Yeah.
Itching on your
you
arm.
You would know by now.
In your vascular arm.
Antibiotics are highly effective on me now.
Yeah.
That's great because you didn't overuse them.
Yeah.
That's actually
And then
really
my
smart.
Husband had them all the time because his mom was a flight attendant. So she'd just throw pills at him. Because she's like, well, I'm leaving for 4 days, so we need to treat it.
Do you guys have the same doctors?
Yeah.
Is she a pediatrician?
Yeah.
Scott Cohen. Do you know him?
I do know Scott Cohen.
Yeah.
His partner, Anessa, is one of my best friends.
Oh my God, I love Anessa. She's great. Is she still at Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
Because now I go to the Valley one.
Oh,
there's an office in the Valley.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I know
that.
What? You go to Beverly Hills?
No, I go to the Valley.
Oh.
I didn't know you did.
Yeah. Why would I not?
I don't know.
It's so easy.
They just have, and they have a new, brand new office in Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I've seen pictures of it. Yeah. Nessa showed me pictures. It looks beautiful.
I wonder if they took the fish tank with them.
They did.
The kids love the fish tank.
The fish tank needs to be.
Yeah, and Nessa's great. And Nessa's amazing. They've grown.
I'm so glad you know her.
I love
her. She's one of my favorite human beings.
And she has three. She has three or four.
She has three kids.
Yeah. Three. Yeah. I haven't seen her in forever because I don't think she ever goes to the Valley. But Bess is also.
Bess Raker.
She's great.
She's great.
I think her dad was a doctor in Phoenix, actually.
Yeah, she's from Phoenix.
Yeah.
Are you from, you're from Phoenix?
Yeah.
Because your dad's been there forever.
Oh, I was born there.
Yeah, she's from Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She's great. Yeah.
It's a good practice.
But their practice is growing. And like, I feel like they have a lot of new docs in there that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
It's hard. I think it's hard to scale your business as a physician.
It's hard to scale your business. You can't be everywhere. No. As people like Scott's very popular. So I know he can't see everybody.
He thinks so. Scott, if you're watching. No, it's fine. He is. He's been practicing a long time. I don't know. I feel like it's a hard thing to scale, you know, like if you're trying to grow a business.
Yes. Yes. And I just want to practice. I just want our practice to run well. So I don't have, I'm not like, he has a growth mentality.
Yes. Yes.
A growth mindset, yes. I guess you would say.
Yes.
And so and I'm you're just more happy just to like, have a well-functioning practice.
So when you have like a health issue, do you just ask your husband or do you call your dad? Like, what do you do?
Oh, I guess it depends on the issue, but definitely I would run it by my husband.
Yeah. Oh, you're so lucky.
It's Connie's dream.
That is my dream.
Married to medicine.
Yeah, I would definitely run it by him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is a good calming voice. So
doesn't freak out when he gets sick.
Oh, no, he's terrible.
Yeah, men are the worst.
Yeah. Oh, he's so baby. When he gets a cold, there's tissues in his nose.
Oh, Lord.
It's very exaggerated. Oh, yes. And I'm not that sympathetic.
Drama, me either.
Yeah.
I'm very so not that sympathetic.
Yeah. Oh, the man cold's a real thing.
Yeah. The man cold. Yeah,
it's very real.
It's just like, it's comical almost.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. And I don't know. I wish I was more doting to him or more.
I don't. I'm like, I save it for the kids. I'm like, your kids are well taken care of.
My husband turns into like whooping cough. I'm like, what are you, nine? Like, get an inhaler or something. I can't.
I know.
Like, it's like, I know. You know.
And he had a cough a couple weeks ago and I was so irritated because it feels like he purposely doesn't try to stop it.
Treat it.
Like there's nothing like this, no covering his mouth.
Yes, yes.
It's just everywhere.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah, like,
do you need attention?
Right. Your husband does that too with the sneeze?
Totally.
No, anytime my husband sneezes, I'm like this. I'm like, I don't want to breathe in your sneezing. Like,
no. It's so gross. Hold it in.
Hold it in.
Like, are you, hold it, are you an adult?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you grow up, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, he's
so funny.
I definitely talked to him. I would talk to Anessa.
Yeah. Oh, duh. You have all these doctor
my
friends.
My God, you're so lucky.
How jealous of her are you?
Blessed.
You can look at this though.
Yeah.
This is.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We just this flip symptoms to one another and be like, I don't think that's your vascular arm.
Well, I think I'm pretty calming and I have a father who's a doctor who's very helpful to you.
I have held your hand through many years of medical, like the stomach year. Remember that?
Oh, that was
the
horrible.
Stomach year. This year's the year of the eyes. That's gone away, thank God.
Thank God.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, I don't know if...
We dovetailed into a chin issue at December.
Dermatitis for 2 months. This has been a year.
Oh, wow.
You know, we should do an episode just on my ailments of the last, like, 3 months.
We should, because I've taken pictures of mine.
Yeah, me too. They're pretty good.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
A lot of befores, no afters.
Oh, my God.
After this, I'm going to read about vascular arms.
Please get back to us.
My knowledge. I don't know.
Have you noticed that your eyes are changing? I mean, you're the same age as me.
Totally.
So
I'm in denial.
But does it feel like suddenly, like one day you woke up and it, like you're like, what happened to me?
She's like, it's blurry. I'm like, no shit.
My
you're
kids put
old.
Things in front of my face. I'm like, can you move it back for me? Yeah. And then I realize.
But
I'm
it feels like older. All of a sudden, I don't know, but I guess that's how these things happen, right?
It's how these, it's welcome
You've
to our 40s.
Suddenly notice. You're like, oh.
Everybody gets it. Everyone in their 40s.
Oh, perfect. Now maybe we can close the chapter on the eye year.
I've closed it.
You
have? They were really dry. They're fine now. But wait, do you wear readers?
No, I haven't done
Seems
it. I probably
like
need
really
them.
Close this chapter.
I've closed the chapter on thinking that I have something like catastrophically wrong with my eyes. I'm just now embracing the fact that, okay,
chapter of
in
curiosity.
The next couple of years, I'm going to probably have to wear readers. Like my sister just started. She's a year older. Yeah.
She did. Yeah.
Just order a cute pair on
Amazon. What does she call herself?
We should all do it. I'm in denial. I probably should.
She calls herself Mother Hubbard.
Do you have readers?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm diagnosed. I just buy them on Amazon.
Diagnosed.
My brother does the same. He buys like packs of 10.
Really?
Yeah. But no one's seeing an optometrist.
Yeah.
You know, I have. Yeah, exactly. That's
multiple times, of course.
I just saw a doctor for this, so I'm good.
Oh, you did.
I did.
Also, let me know how it goes.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah, let me know. You don't even need to follow up.
Also, I will let you know. Nighttime driving, does it feel so much darker?
Nighttime driving. Okay, I definitely need my glasses.
Like, I don't know.
Who's
I just feel like
at night.
I don't know. I mean, it feels so. Also, like where I live is pretty dark up there. Yes. But like, I'm like, it's so dark and the light's so bright. Like, and I feel like that's part of the eyes are like getting old.
I do. You're saying these things that I haven't admitted to myself.
Oh, no. I think, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure her chapter's closed.
I'm sure. Sorry.
She's like, then at night.
I thought for a while that like, I was like my vision was like, it was like a terminal. Yeah, terminal. Like,
yeah.
Like an emergency situation.
I was in the medical books with you.
No.
Should I ask what the eye problem was or the chapter's closed?
I had dry eyes. Like it was just like, yeah, it was the focusing. Like I was like the light sensitivity. Things up close, kind of like all the optometrist was like, when I was 44, these things all happened to me and I just didn't want to believe it.
There's certain things that when you hit your 40s, everybody gets, it's like back problems. Yeah. I think
she would call me about her eyes and I'd be like, I think you're fine. She's like, how are yours? I'm like, itchy as fuck. I don't know.
They went through a weird phase.
You have allergies.
They were really, really dry.
Do you think MS would present itself in skin rashes?
And usually not.
That's not.
She's
promising.
Been targeted for MS.
Usually not. Ocular?
Ocular. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I mean, everybody's
just kidding.
Oh, no.
It was really great
having you on this podcast.
I get it. Okay, sorry.
Why did you go down the MS rabbit hole?
I don't know. Because it usually hits at this age.
I don't think so. I have a friend who's had MS for, like, she was diagnosed in her 20s.
Can be your teens, can be. Yeah.
Is it more common at this age?
Women in 30s, 40s. Yeah. 40s. I have a random podcast episode on my podcast about it.
Yeah.
About with an MS specialist. It was probably,
Should we not listen to it?
No, it was very optimistic, very hopeful.
Oh, good.
It's very optimistic.
So I'm saying I should know the answer to your question, but I think it's women in their 30s and 40s is mostly where it presents. Yeah. Yeah, but that's a, how do we get to MS?
I don't, because of this.
I'm
vascular,
sorry, I thought the chapter was closed.
Her vascular arm Googled it.
But I'll just say, I see itchy skin a million times a day and MS very rarely.
Yeah.
So
eye problems, maybe.
And on that note.
Don't worry about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You're so fun.
You were my pleasure. Amazing.
Thank you. It was really fun to meet you guys.
So
I love your friendship.
Aw, thank you.
You're one of us.
I like it. Thank you.
Forever and ever.
Thank you.
Forever.